Hi, everyone. My name is Melissa Sims, and I am a Vice President of Thought Leadership for Philly Sherm. Welcome to our inaugural edition of 10 Minute Talks. Today, I am joined by Daphne Curtin, who not only is a good friend of mine, we went to college together, but a director of people for a global e-commerce company. And today, we're going to be chit-chatting about organizational effectiveness. So, Daphne, I know that you and I were talking, and we were talking about recently you've had some changes to your ways of working at work, and to keep up with the alliteration, I would like to know, how is that working for you?
Well, first, thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your organization. Yeah, so, you know, what we did recently, so first off, you know, I support a variety of organizations within my organization. And one of my leaders said, hey, I really want to relook how we're working. And instead of being purely functionally aligned, really want to go to what we call a pod model. So we have pods that really line up with our customer segments and our revenue segments. And what we did is we put members of each of our cross-functional teams into those pods. So you might have a technologist, a product lead, a sales lead, et cetera, in one pod being led by someone who isn't necessarily his or her functional leader. So still within, you know, Workday, you're still reporting into your functional lead, but day-to-day, your day-to-day direction, you're getting it from this cross-functional lead. So you can imagine, you know, leader comes in, tells you, hey, I want to completely change the way things have been working. One, it was an awesome opportunity for me to learn a different approach. And, you know, we leveraged external consultants to help us, you know, quickly make the transformation. But the other thing I would say is, it's just been fascinating, just the learnings in a very short period of time, and we're only a few months into it, just to see the growth in some of our individuals at the maybe more the junior levels, even at the senior level, different, how we're working across teams, how it's showing, you know, different gaps, you know, for me, and what do we need from a talent perspective? What do we need from a skill set perspective? How can I supplement from a learning and development perspective, or even a recruiting perspective? So you think that a change, it just impacts so many things within the human capital portfolio. So it's been a really interesting learning for me, and I'm really getting a lot out of it. And it's really also, you know, more importantly, driving our business into a really positive direction.
That's awesome. Well, those seem to be a lot of positives that have come with this. Let me ask you, have you, even though it's in its infancy, have you noticed any negatives yet from this, or have other people potentially identified some negatives?
Yeah, I wouldn't say negatives. I would say the word I'd use is opportunity. So I'll explain. You know, we all, I'm sure, you know, most HR leaders, you're doing talent calibrations, assessing talent throughout the year. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we recently are, you know, instituting is a monthly People Connect. And it's great because my GM is really saying, hey, what do you want on the agenda? You're the my people leader, you tell me. And one of the things I'm sure, you know, all of us read, all of the thought leadership, the recent study came out, I believe it's from McKinsey, talking about having agile leaders and employees and how important that is. So we're all looking for the same thing. And when we started looking at our talent, you know, it was interesting to me, the people that we always said were our top performers are still our top performers, old model or new model. And what it really has highlighted is, how do we look for those people that are highly agile, you know, maybe using the Korn Ferry definition of having high learning agility. So I think the opportunity I've seen is, how do we get more people like that? How do we get more people that are part of that future forward piece? The other thing, quite frankly, is, you know, I think in HR, we spend a lot of time doing org charts, moving boxes around a paper. And, you know, so we've done this with this design, and what it's really highlighted is, wow, we always had that gap, but now we see it in a different way because the boxes have moved a different way. And it seems like a, hey, fantastic grasp would be obvious comment, but it really isn't. So it's also unlocked for us, hey, we don't have this skill. We don't have this skill at the right level. How do we bring these people in? You know, the other thing I think And I would say I myself would fall guilty of this, is you have somebody leave and you're like, okay, I need to replace that person. I think we're doing a much more diligent, well, I don't think we are doing a much more diligent job to say, okay, well, this person, this opportunity is now a chance for us to say, do we need a different skill set? Do we need a more senior person? Do we maybe need a more junior person that we can bring along? And so I think, you know, anytime there's any kind of change, you've got to look at it in a lot of different directions. And so for me, if anything, it's more of been an eye-opening experience for me to say, how do I look at the human capital plan differently, and really use this as an opportunity to shape the org to solving those future challenges.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I like there is that you were saying, like, your high performers have always been your high performers and continue to be so. So what I'm piecing together here is that agility is one of those characteristics of a high performing individual. So speaking of which, I know, because I know you, that you are do not have a pure HR background. You probably could have never orchestrated your career moves in order to get to HR, but alas, here you are, and you're at the top. So I'm just curious about your personal experience with, that lends itself to agility, right? Your checkered background. I mean, it's really worked out for you. Do you want to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, well, first off, I'm not at the top. I mean, obviously there are people in the people team that are more senior than me, but you know, my last job in the military, I was a personnel officer and I just really enjoyed that role. Lots of great opportunities. And so when I transitioned out of the military, you know, I worked for a startup for a while, and then I went to a Fortune 500 company and I interviewed to be an HR leader. And the VP of HR said, look, you know, you have the ability to be operational and not everyone does. And I really think you should spend 18 months on a factory floor learning about our business. And so I really thought, okay, here's someone I really respect. I mean, I just met him, but I respect him. And if he's telling me that's what he thinks he should do, I think it's, you know, I'll take that advice. And so I literally spent 18 months, you know, from raw materials to final production. My team was in charge of final production. Mm-hmm. And I can't thank him enough for that guidance, because that's really how I've steered my career. You know, I did the 18-month assignment and then I moved into a people role. You know, after my MBA, I decided, hey, I'm going to spend 5 years in non-people roles. And now that I'm back into people, and this is where I plan on staying, I use all those experiences. I've owned, you know, a P&L statement. I've had the revenue pressures. I've been in supply chain and had to really deal with the pressures of you know, getting goods to customers and stores. I've worked in procurement. I understand the pressure from, you know, an R&D scientist or what a sales rep needs on the shelf. I understand how to manage external partners. And yes, you think, okay, well, how does that play out in day-to-day HR? Mm-hmm. I support those people. I've done those jobs myself. Sure. Or I know enough about it where I understand the pressure. And so I always really try to put myself in their shoes. Like I say, HR is a cost center, right? I mean, that's just reality. Mm-hmm. And so how am I adding value to the business? And so to me, I really try to remember what it was like when I was, you know, late on a Friday night trying to get that last, you know, I did hospital stretchers off the line to hit the goal for the week. And I understand the pressures are different. And so for me, I use all those examples. And again, it worked for me, and I really lean on it now to be able to partner with my businesses.
I love it. It probably also makes you realize that people can have growth opportunities in less than traditional ways, right? And so you institute that when you are trying to develop, you know, folks, right? Like either your
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we all have had this conversation. It's all about on the job learning. It's not always about the external opportunity. It's about going left and right. I often talk to people like, look, I've done a lot of jobs laterally, but that's allowed me to go up. And I think that's a really important lesson and coaching tip that especially some of our, you know, more junior employees, like, look, you got to have that experience. Because a lot of times, and I didn't realize this, I remember when I was first getting out of the military, I don't even know if you know the story. Like I applied for this VP of HR role at like a major Fortune 100. I just thought, hey, I've got 5 years of Army experience. Surely I can run, you know, the operation. And I couldn't believe they never called me back. now I think to myself, wow, I mean, that was pretty bold. I don't have that experience. And I think, I'm much closer now, or maybe I am now. But I think that's the other thing, is like understanding experiences teach you, and it's often also the experiences are the most challenging, teach you the most. So I try to really impart that lesson, you know, to some of my, I've told that story a lot of my employees, is say, hey, look, you sometimes just putting in the time, because you've got to have enough experiences to draw from to really provide that coaching going forward.
I love it. Well, I have like 10 other things I want to talk to you about, but unfortunately we are out of time. We have like only 10 seconds left. 10 minutes goes so fast, especially when I'm talking to you, because I like to pick your brain on so many things. Daphne, thank you so much for your time and your talents and your wisdom. And I know that everyone's totally going to benefit from this 10-minute talk with you. So thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.